I'm Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is May 31st, 2014. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today, an essay by Fat Fist entitled, God Does Not Exist. It is impossible for a God to exist. He begins, the religions of theism and atheism are in total agreement with each other. Fat Fist, great start. You didn't even make it out of the batter's box before tripping over your dong. Yeah, I realize that you will probably take that as a compliment, but believe me, it wasn't. Go to dictionary.com. At the top, click on thesaurus. When it comes up, type in the word atheism. Assuming you are able to follow those directions, you should be on the atheism page. Now go down and look at the section called antonyms. Among them, you should find the word religion. Now go back to the dictionary and type in the word antonym. See the problem bubbles? Fat Fist continues. They assert that it is not possible to prove that God does or doesn't exist. Wrong again, Fat Fist. It isn't atheism that asserts that it is impossible to prove the non-existence of something. It is simply a logical fact that it is impossible to prove the non-existence of something. And if a God existed, why wouldn't it be possible to prove it? Come on, Fat Fist, keep your guard up. You are making this way too easy. He wrote, meanwhile, these proponents don't understand that the term proof resolves to none other than opinion, because it is predicated upon the limited human sensory system. Fat Fist, taking the first definition of the word proof from dictionary.com, quote, evidence sufficient to establish a thing as true, end quote. You see, Fat Fist, you've added all kinds of bullshit to the definition to make it say what you want it to say rather than what it actually says. Your problem is that you deal in fantasy rather than reality. If words don't come out the way you want them to, you simply stir in a whole load of crap and voila, bullshit served to order. Fat Fist continues. But most importantly, none of these fanatics can unambiguously define the crucial term which makes or breaks their argument, the formidable term exist. Fat Fist, they don't have to unambiguously define the term exist. Mr. Webster has already done that for them. Since you find the word so formidable, maybe you should contact someone who is more fluent in English than you are. He wrote, no wonder these two fundamentalist camps have been arguing with each other for over 2,000 years. Fat Fist, your history book must be a strange one indeed. It is rare to find any mention of atheism in ancient history, and the few who dared to express anti-religious feelings weren't arguing. They were busy burning. He wrote, this article makes no claims. Fat Fist, not to be picky, but the period goes inside the final parentheses. Just to show you that I'm not really such a bad guy, I'll even provide you with this nifty link to help you in the future. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided him a link to Grammar Girl. He wrote, it only provides a rational explanation for why it is impossible for God to exist. So the casual reader, for example, theist, agnostic, or atheist, had better go to school and learn the difference between a claim and an explanation before chasing straw men in the comments section. Fat Fist, your statement refers to the difference between a claim and an explanation. However, what you fail to realize is that an explanation may itself be a claim. Fat Fist continues, so, it's time to cut through all the BS thrown around by both theists and atheists alike. Fat Fist, and who better to do that than a self-proclaimed genius on everything, who achieves his amazing insights without ever having actually opened a dictionary. He wrote, it's time to rationally explain not only why God does not exist, but more importantly, that it is impossible for a God to exist, any creator God. Fat Fist, I'm on pins and needles. What do you got? He titles this next section, What is God? The proponents of God hypothesize that the term God resolves to the Creator. They claim that God is something rather than nothing, who can move and perform activities, like create. This is their claim, and they ask you to take it at face value and not ask any further questions. To which Fat Fist responds to himself by writing, hey, not so fast. That's the way he spelled it anyway. I hope that nobody bellyaches if we critically analyze this claim before taking it at face value. Realistically, the term God, like any other term in human language, resolves to either an object or a concept. There is no other possible category. Fat Fist, false dichotomy. The laws of mathematics and the logical absolutes are neither physical objects, meaning that they are neither matter nor energy, nor are they concepts. The fact that we can conceptualize them and use them as tools does not make them concepts. Both are examples of inherent properties of the universe. I know how much you hate dictionaries, so I'll try to explain inherent property. The law of identity came into existence when our universe came into existence. A rock was a rock billions of years before there were minds to conceptualize either the rock or the law of identity. The law is neither matter nor energy, nor is it a concept. If you still can't see your false dichotomy, Fat Fist, it's because you don't want to. He continues, God either has shape or he doesn't. It's a yes or no issue. There is no other option. Those who claim that God is a concept like love, truth, or intelligence will summarily have excluded God from existence. Fat Fist, you just managed to exclude love, truth, and intelligence from existence. Nice going. While it is true that concepts do not exist as energy or matter, they do exist as products of mental activity. And while it is likely true that no God exists in the physical universe, thousands of gods exist as concepts in the imaginations of humans. Now he writes, these people need to learn the difference between an object and a concept before attempting to formulate arguments founded on ignorance. Fat Fist, you can't expect mere mortals to possess your godlike mental gifts. He wrote, for the rest, like the proponents of the God of the Bible, Christians, Jews, Muslims, for example, God is indeed a hypothesized entity or object who created space and matter. And creation is an action, a verb, which necessarily invokes motion. For example, the motion of God. Objectless motion is impossible. Fat Fist, it's entertaining watching you tie yourself up in mental knots. Also, you need to calm down. One exclamation point is sufficient. He continues, nothingness cannot move. Whatever God is made from, whether he is visible or invisible, is totally irrelevant in the instant context. The point is that God absolutely does have shape to his being. God is obviously an object, whether he or his fanatic followers like it or not. This is an objective issue that is reasoned and not blindly asserted. It is impossible to argue otherwise. Fat Fist, claiming victory doesn't grant victory. Your error in reasoning that time was in assuming that your reasoning cannot result in a blind assertion. From dictionary.com, assertion, a positive statement or declaration, often without support or reason. Fat Fist, take special notice of the adverb, often. Fat Fist goes on. So, what is an object? How do we define object and exist unambiguously? Fat Fist, if you ever work up the energy to research it, you might discover that your questions have already been answered by Mr. Webster. Fat Fist writes, object, that which has shape. Fat Fist, I saw five definitions, and not one mentioned shape. He continues, exist. An object having location. Fat Fist, ditto. Five definitions, and not one mentioned location. Now, I don't disagree that every object has shape and location. I'm just pointing out that those qualities are so basic that it wasn't necessary to include them into the definitions. Fat Fist writes, location. The set of distances to all other objects. Theologians hypothesize that God does indeed exist. That is, they hypothesize that God is an object with shape. Furthermore, by virtue of his existence, theologians hypothesize that there is a set of static distances between God and all other objects in the universe. Whether God is, Fat Fist, I hope you kept that link I gave you earlier to Grammar Girl. This would be a good time to go back to it and look up how to use an ellipsis. Continuing, whether God is invisible, untouchable, unknowable, undetectable, untestable, hidden, mysterious, almighty, complex, not able to be scientifically analyzed and evidenced, etc., is completely irrelevant to the theologian's hypothesis that God is an object with location. Since God is allegedly located somewhere out there, it follows that there is a static distance between God and your nose. Fat Fist, after trying to wade through your pathetic attempt at coherent thought, it amazes me that there are actually people who follow you. Which reminds me, does that moron who calls himself Monkey Mind still comment at your website? He writes, question, does the Bible say that God is an object? Answer, OMG, yes indeed, of course it does. Fat Fist, all caps, multiple exclamation points, YouTube slang, and more oddball ellipses. I feel like I'm debating a little kid. Now Fat Fist quotes three Bible verses, which I will spare all of you the drudgery of having to sit through. After the verses, Fat Fist writes, see how simple that was? Just read your Bible, and not just the cherry-picked verses which your pastor forced you to memorize by rote in Sunday school. Even God cannot elude his objecthood and structure to his being, which gives him shape. Those who disagree that all entities or objects have shape or form, whether invisible or not, including God himself, have a lot of explaining to do. God is hypothesized by theologians to be an entity that is something rather than nothing. In order to be something, God must absolutely have shape or form and structure to his being. Only nothing lacks shape or form. Now Fat Fist goes on to his next section entitled, Why is it impossible for God to exist? Fat Fist writes, because God cannot possibly be a creator of the universe, meaning space and matter. And Fat Fist backs this up with two claims. Number one, Space is nothing. Fat Fist, you seriously need some introductory level science classes. But since research doesn't seem to be your strong point, at least watch Cosmos on Sunday nights and maybe you'll pick up some basic science concepts. Space is far from being nothing. It is packed with all kinds of crap, much like your head. Here's a link that will explain to you all the things in space that you see as nothing. And in the Word document associated with this podcast, I provided him a link to my website, the section entitled Neo's Science, and I told him to scroll down to the last topic on the page, to the essay, Is Space a Vacuum? Fat Fist continues, Space is a concept invented by man. Fat Fist, if that were true, then all of space could have only come into existence when man came into existence. Didn't think that one out first, did ya? Obviously, the existence of space does not depend on the human mind for its existence. He wrote, as such, space is impossible to create. Not even an all-powerful magical god can create space. Fat Fist, irrelevant conclusion. Since your previous assertion was completely blown out of the water, your conclusion, drawn from that assertion, is meaningless. And now Fat Fist provides his second assertion in support of his claim, because God cannot possibly be a creator of the universe. Number two is, matter has shape and is impossible to create from nothing. What sense does it make to say that nothing, which lacks shape, suddenly acquired shape in zero time? For example, in one frame of the Universal movie. Objects can only be assembled from pre-existing matter. Matter is eternal, cannot be created or destroyed. Not even God can morph nothing into an object with shape. Remember, points 1 and 2 are not claims. They are rational explanations which contradict the positive claim. Fat Fist, you exist in a delusional realm that rivals that of ghost worshippers. Here's some advice. Drop to your knees, Fat Fist. Do it now. Accept Jesus Christ into your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. You'll get eternal life and a nice fluffy cloud to play on. But the best part is, since I'm going to hell, I won't have to worry about running into you and having to listen to your mind-numbing ignorance ever again. Now Fat Fist writes, it is the theologian and the Big Bang creationist who blindly asserts the positive claim that space and matter can be created. Fat Fist, seriously, Cosmos with Neil deGrasse Tyson, it would do you a world of good. Your grasp of physics and astronomy make even Scientologists look almost studious. He wrote, their claim is irrational and contradictory. This is why they only assert it and can never explain it. Fat Fist, you couldn't explain metamorphosis to a caterpillar. First, you need several years of research into science and logic just to get you back to where you were when you were born, before your mind headed off in the wrong direction. Then you'll need many more additional years to bring yourself up to speed before you can even consider debating a high school senior at a voucher school. Fat Fist continues, since God is a hypothesized object, space must necessarily enclose and contour God. This makes space at least as formidable as the Almighty. God could not have created space because space necessarily precedes him. The God hypothesis assumes God to be eternal, but space has eternally separated all objects. Fat Fist, it hasn't eternally separated the Milky Way and Andromeda galaxies, as you will discover for yourself if you are still alive in a few billion years. He wrote, there is no other way about it. Space necessarily precedes God. as he can't exist without space. Had it been possible for God to even attempt to escape this eternal prison we call space, he would have lost his most precious superpower, form, and be reduced to nothing. To assert that God created space is a blatant contradiction. God can be as all-powerful as he wants, but since space doesn't have a border, even he cannot cross that which has no boundaries. It is absurd to propose that God is outside of space, meaning transcends it. Looking in at space and matter from a bird's eye perspective, therefore, God cannot do without the background of space that grants him form and being. And now for Fat Fist's conclusion. If there is a God, he is serving an eternal prison sentence here with all of us, as not even he can escape this unbounded prison, which has no walls to break out of and no cracks to slip through. So he'd better work hard and earn his keep, just like all the other inmates. Formless and borderless space humbles the most arrogant of gods, even the God of the Bible. Nevertheless, God couldn't have built this largest of prisons and simultaneously be unable to escape it. It's impossible. Fat Fist, why do you think that monotonously droning on over and over will make your nonsense any more believable? You remind me of that character in the movie Airplane. You know, the guy who sits next to the old lady and bores her to friggin' death. The camera is on him while he is talking. Then it pans back and reveals that the old woman has turned into a skeleton while he keeps on talking. Fat Fist continues. We have free will because God does not, as even he cannot escape this prison he is credited for building. So if God exists, he is just another insignificant being that satisfies the human involuntary compulsion to worship. He may very well be Queen Elizabeth, Stephen Hawking, or some Hollywood celebrity. Mindless beings are obsessed with worshiping conceptually important, meaning authoritative, celebrity, or idol, characters. It is impossible for any god to exist. Sorry. Fat Fist, the only thing that makes me sorry is that I will never get back the time I wasted reading this essay. And now we move to the science segment. Today's story, fish can yell too. People aren't the only ones who raise their voices at each other. Fish can shout too. After catching some blacktail shiners, which are little minnows characterized by a big black splotch on their tail fin, fishery biologists place them in tanks equipped with underwater speakers to see if noisy conditions affect communication. While females don't make noise, males produce two types of sound, growls and knocks. The growl is similar to a cat's purr and is made when courting a female, while the knocks are more like popping sounds, typically made when males are fighting or defending their nests from another male. After recording these natural sounds during quiet periods, the researchers played white noise in the tanks. As they raised and lowered the volume of the static, they observed that rather than get closer together and continue on at the same speaking level, the blacktail shiner stays put and amps up its own voice to be heard. The study is the first to find that fish will tune up their vocal volume in response to elevated noise. As noise levels around rivers continue to rise with cars thundering across bridges and boats chugging on the water, the researchers suggest more needs to be learned about how fish are responding to louder environments and whether they're getting stressed and behaving differently. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Sam Harris. I will give no biography as he has been previously quoted. Here is the quote from Sam Harris. We will see that the greatest problem confronting civilization is not merely religious extremism, rather is the larger set of cultural and intellectual accommodations we have made to faith itself.
Are you ready, Bruce? Start walking!